May be helped to commence our worship of God for this morning's service by singing together hymn number 40. Hymn number 40 to the tune Adest Fidele, or 804. How blessed is the season at which we appear. Bow down, sense and reason, faith only reign here. 'Tis heard by mere nature with coldness and scorn, that God, our Creator, an infant was born. Lost souls to recover and form them afresh, our wonderful lover took flesh of our flesh. From sin to release us, that yoke so long worn, the Holy Child, Jesus, of Mary was born. Hymn number 40, tune Adest Fidele, 804.
So Most holy word of God, and it may not be, as it were, according to tradition, a portion to be read, but that's how it has been laid upon my mind. We'll find it in Genesis chapter 22. Genesis chapter 22. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham, and said unto him, Abraham. And he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, and saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up, and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship, and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering, and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went, both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father, and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there, and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand, and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven, and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram, and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time, and said, By myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing, and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore. And thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. So Abraham returned unto his young men, and they rose up and went together to Beersheba. And Abraham dwelt at Beersheba. And it came to pass after these things that it was told Abraham, saying, Behold, Milcah, she hath also borne children unto thy brother Nahor, Huz his firstborn, and Buz his brother, and Kemuel the father of Aram, and Chesed, and Hazo, and Pildash, and Jidlaf, and Bethuel. And Bethuel begat Rebekah. These eight Milcah did bear to Nahor, Abraham's brother. And his concubine, whose name was Rumah, she bare also Teba, Gaham, and Thahash, and Maacah. May the Lord be pleased to bless to us the reading's most holy word, and grant all needed help now in prayer. O most merciful, ever gracious and almighty Lord God, once more we are spared to gather in thy courts and read thy word. That which thou hast left on record for thy church down to the end of time for its instruction. And may it be a word of instruction unto us, whether it is from the Old Testament or the New. For none of thy word is without a place unto the church of God. The word, thy word in its entirety, is precious indeed, is it not? And we thank thee for it. But we live in a day where many would seek to remove, if they could, many portions that offend. But O Lord, may it please thee, ever keep unto us this wonderful gift, the gift of the whole word of God. And may it please thee, we know it shall be, but we plead that it might be so in our day, even this day, that word of thy grace, that word perhaps is it which is in season, or maybe unto one a word that is yet to be made unto them, whereby apples of gold and pictures of silver, the word made precious, a word perhaps that will be brought to be sealed by the Spirit upon their heart. that which we which cannot be removed, that which will not only last for time but for eternity, that little treasure in an earthen vessel, we might prove the excellency and the power of God, made known unto poor sinners, of thy salvation, and that love which thou hast toward that people of thine, and brought into that sweet knowledge of Christ, not as the world looks upon it at this time of the year, but all to see thee. Ah, yes, the Lamb of God, one that was raised up from all eternity and in the fullness of time truly took upon himself that body and nature like unto our own, yet without sin, as that Lamb of God, to suffer in our room, place and stead, the room, place and set of his church, his people, his chosen, his bride, and all that might be found amongst them. May that be our desire. We do not want just traditions and forms of man at this time of the year, but all might be that wrought in our heart that I might know him. Not only as that one laying in the as a babe in that manger in Bethlehem, but one risen indeed. Risen indeed. Yes, and as the apostle declared, that I might know him and the power of his resurrection. Or leave us not then to just forms, dead rounds of empty service, and as much of that at this time of the year. No more than dead rounds, forms of service, but all might be that wrought in our hearts as we come into thy courts, like those Greeks of old. Sir, we would see Jesus. Give me Christ, or else I die. A realizing of a truth as is made known unto them, that they are sinners indeed, sinners in need. And as they are brought to that truth, as they are taught by the Spirit under the thunderings of the law and the demands of the law, and the Spirit leads them to look to Christ, the Lamb of God, to look to Christ, the Lamb once slain. Oh, and to by faith believe and have a hope raised up, in our hearts, that hope in thy mercy, that hope as regards our never dying souls in eternity, that hope raised up, there is that one, the sin bearer, that has borne the sin of many, that truly did bear that sword of divine justice as it was brought down upon him instead of the church, as he stood in their room, place and stead by the offering of himself freely. And so we plead, to lead us and teach us into all truth as it is in Jesus. We thank thee for thy mercies and thy favours thus far, as we thought upon it at the prayer meeting. Thou hast been our helper, hast thou not, both individually and collectively thus far, even through this year to this moment of time. Can we not say we have lacked nothing? Can we not say great has been thy faithfulness, and thy mercies have been new every morning? Many dangers, toils and snares we have already come. Oh, may it please it, by these things we might be like David of old. We can look back. It gives that encouragement. Like it was when he found in that day Ziklag was burned with fire, lost everything, appeared to have done. But no doubt he isn't able to, by the Spirit, to look back, as the Spirit was his remembrancer. And we thank thee that the Spirit has been our remembrancer many a time. Oh, be our remembrancer even now. We might look back and see all the way which the Lord our God hath led us. And like David, that which is before us. Encourage ourselves in the Lord our God. He saw nothing in himself. There was no help to be found there. Couldn't go to his own countrymen. They talked of stoning him. Alone, but not alone. The Lord was at hand. He proved his God. A prayer hearing, a prayer answering God. One that was able to do for him more than he could ask or even think. Ah, did they not prove it that day? Oh, they proved it that day. So do we know us to look back as the Spirit reveals to us in our little lives as we journeyed thus far in our pilgrimage. We truly can see all the way which the Lord our God hath led us. And in order to commit that of the pathway yet to come into thy hands, to fall into thy hands, into thy kind care and keeping. O one, the eternal God that has been our refuge. For thou art from everlasting to everlasting, as thou hast declared, from everlasting to everlasting thou art God. Thou hast been our refuge. Thou hast been a refuge and strength to thy people, to thy church, down through the ages. We've proved it so individually and collectively here. May we prove it in the days to come as thou hast allotted to us in our path. And so we plead then to grant that faith to wait on and to look up. To look up unto one who is the creator of all things and by whom are all things. To look up. Look out of self to a precious Christ, the sinner's friend. One that we have proved, have we not, in our measure, that loveth at all times a brother born for adversity. And so we plead to remember each one as we've gathered and been unable to gather. Those gathering with us, those unable to gather. Lord, we plead there are those sicknesses and afflictions which are at this time of the year more prevalent. But they lay low, do they not? And we think of our brother deacon at the desk. He feels the effect of it. Lord, we plead for each one then, whether here or absent. Go to them where they are and favour them in their souls. One in their home, dear sister in the faith, Beryl, remember her there. May she know thy presence, but may we each know thy presence. Ah, may we each feel those everlasting arms again this day. It is a day of troubles, it is a day of darkness, it is a day of gloominess, as we read in the prophecy of Joel. Men's hearts fail them for fear. We certainly find ourselves fearing and trembling. We find ourselves saying, what if, what may be? But oh, the shepherd goes before his sheep, and he leads them forth by that right way, that they might go to that city of habitation, that city that made with hands, whose builder and maker is God. But that path here below, thou wilt govern. And blessed be God. When there's turmoil in governments of the nations round about us in this nation, we read of that government, yes, concerning Christ, in the prophecy of Isaiah, that government which is a perfect government, and there shall be no end of that government, and there shall be an increase of it, and the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. And so there will be a performance of those things to each one as they journey on, the fearful worm Jacobs, the trembling worm Jacobs. And what a mercy when we that I speak, fear not, thou worm Jacob, and ye men of Israel. Fear not, thou worm Jacob, and ye men of Israel. Lord, thou knowest our fears in this day. Fears, we sometimes fear much, we seem to drag along. Fear not, thou worm Jacob, and ye men of Israel. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. What a mercy. Ah, thou hast declared it, I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I'll uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Oh, may we each prove it. We proved it thus far. Yes, thou hast not left us to sink in troubles. Thou hast not left us to perish in the wilderness at the hand of our enemy. We can say hitherto. Hitherto hath the Lord helped us, and he who hath helped us hitherto will help us all our journey through and give us daily cause to raise new Ebenezers to thy praise. And so as we've been brought into thy courts and favoured so to do, order enough to praise as we ought. We come so short in praises, speak for oneself in this regard. We come so short in our praises, and our praises are so poor for what thou hast done when we think upon it. But when we're brought other summits, we have to say, many are thy thoughts unto us, O Lord. Many have been those thoughts, there more than can be numbered. And we deserve them not. Ah, we deserve them not. So do know to praise thee. To bless the Lord, O my soul, like the psalmist. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Forget not all his benefits. Oh, may we each know, as the psalmist declared in that Psalm 103, may we each know, yes, as the psalmist goes on through that psalm, and all the blessings contained therein, that we might likewise know those blessings, if it could please thee, if thou shouldest bestow them upon us, and likewise that song of praise be wrung out of the very soul. The new song put in the mouth, that song of praise unto thee. So do remember each one according to their path and according to their need. Those things in providence and in grace. Things for time and eternity. Lord, thou knowest we're often burdened, and yes, we can become Martha-like. Even enter into thy courts like Martha. Known it. Where we feel almost unable to hear thy words because we're concerned about this and concerned about that. Cannot lift ourselves above the concerns of this life at times. Bowed down with them, careful and troubled about many things, but oh, may it please thee. Lift us above earth's inferior things, and set our hearts and minds upon those things which are heavenly, which are eternal. We might be found like Mary was that day, sitting at thy feet, hearing thy words. The words of thy grace. Ah, the words of thy grace unto a poor sinner. And so we plead, to help us each to truly worship thee this day. Lift us above all that may concern us. Enable us to cast those cares upon thee. Ah, cast our cares upon thee. And may we each prove, as we're spared to go into another year in time, ah, that thou art our God, our helper. Ah, that one, a friend and brother. That one that does eat with publicans and sinners. Condescends the men of low estate. Has mercy upon us. So we plead, do remember us. And we thank thee for thy favours towards us here. As a little church and people. Go on to be gracious. Ah, do yet Awaken many sinners round to come and fill the place. And we think of the other little causes round about where they're ministered and brought low. And in this regard, we think upon our dear friend at Braybourne, where we were last Lord's Day. We likewise bear that little cause of truth before thee there, but others also, ministered and brought low. Are there none of thy dead elect in around here, or Braybourne, or those little hills of Zion? Are there any of thy prodigals that thou hast yet to favour towards, and thou wilt bring them back? Lord, we plead that it might be so. There might be then many, many constrained by Almighty God, by thy almighty power, to come into thy courts, smiting upon their breasts, crying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Bring back the rebellious. We've seen rebellions here. What desolations we have seen, turning aside from thy truth, the forsaking of thy word. But we look upon that word, is it not thy grace for the rebellious also? Thou canst bring back the rebellious. Thou canst make willing in the day of thy power to do that which is right in thy sight. We likewise plead for those that succour any in their rebellions, in their rebelliousness. We've seen much of it in our day, have we not? There is a succouring of wrongdoing. Oh, how solemn. Sins, yes, maybe against a man, but we've seen those sins against the head of the church, which is Christ. When Christ has been made precious to us, is not sin exceedingly sinful? And to sin against the head of the church, how solemn indeed. May it please thee ever keep. Keep us from bringing shame and reproach upon thy name. Keep us close to thee in the hour of temptation. We read of one, so did not I, because of the fear of the Lord. The tender fear of the Lord, so did not I. And so we plead, ever keep us close to thee, tender of heart and mind and conscience. And so we plead for our little denomination. We plead for that there might be yet in our day our reviving. Revive thy work in the midst of our years. In the midst of our years, make known in wrath, remember mercy. Where thy word is faithfully preached. Yes, build up Zion. Strengthen Zion. But we thank thee for thy word as regards Zion. Where thou art king, thou hast said thou would abundantly bless her provision and satisfy her poor with bread. And that word has been made precious unto this poor sinner in these dark and difficult days. And thy word, it remains and ever will remain. And where twos and the threes gather together in thy name, thou hast said thou wilt be there in the midst. And wilt thou not then bless them and favour them? Thou wilt break the bread of life unto them. Thou wilt satisfy them with that bread of life which is sent down from heaven, which is Christ. For didst thou not say of thyself, I am that bread of life sent down from heaven? And thou hast said, I will abundantly bless her provision and satisfy her poor with bread. Satisfy thy poor with bread this day, they might truly taste, handle and feel of the word which is Christ. So we plead to remember Zion, remember this guilty land in this evil day. Evil is called good and good is called evil. The law is slacked. Yes, that also applies to the churches as well, does it not? But as regards the nation, the law is slacked. We've forsaken the law of God. And so we plead, do yet Work in those that govern this nation's heart, if it could please thee. There might be a repealing of laws which are contrary to thy laws. It might be once again said of this nation, righteousness exhorteth the nation. We're now reproach. But we believe there is a remnant that sigh and cry unto thee daily for the abominations done in the land. Or may we be found amongst that remnant that ever cry unto thee. So stir us up, we can soon become complacent, settle upon our lees. We can become rich and have need of nothing. But all to be found amongst those mourners in Zion. Mourning. Yes, looking upon one whom they have pierced. To ever be brought there. To look upon Christ in his sufferings. In the Garden of Gethsemane, upon the cross at Calvary. That will keep us in our right place, will it not? Unless we're so hard and our hearts have been seared with a hot iron. But will it not keep us in that place? Yes, humbled under the mighty hand of God. And so do remember us now as we've gathered and favoured to gather. And we would not forget the young ones and little children. Oh, we plead for them in this dark and evil day. Ever keep them in their young years. Ever keep them in their young years. And may it please you, whilst young in years, they know like Samuel of old, brought to call upon the Lord, God of Israel. So we plead to remember the young. Remember parents as they seek to bring up their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Give them help in this, we plead. Help to counter the evils of the day, the evils that abound. Yes, we plead for them. But all may they prove, as parents, both in those things regarding the upbringing of their children, but also in that way of providence, that there is a God. A God who is able to do for them more than they can ask or even think. So now we would fall into thy hands and commit each into thy care. We would not be unmindful of any afflicted ones. Bless all the means used for their good. And sanctify the path and sweeten the pain. But now, O Lord, we seek help of thee. For to whom can we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. So we plead now for the pardon of every sin. And all we've asked amiss, we plead for Christ's sake. Amen.
There are quite a few notices. If the friends will bear with me, God willing. There is to be no service here on Tuesday evening. And next Lord's Day, Mr. Bernard Burgess is engaged to preach for the evening service and has helped. There will be a read address during a prayer meeting, a read sermon during a morning service. On Monday, the 2nd of January, our New Year's prayer meeting will be officiated by Mr. Gilbert Hyde and commence at 10:30 a.m. And on Tuesday the 3rd of January, our weeknight service, Mr. Gilbert Hyde is engaged to preach. There will be no monthly prayer meeting on Friday the 6th of January. And a church meeting has been called for 11 a.m. on Wednesday the 11th of January. I do not have with me this morning the details of the collection taken last week, but will, God willing, provide those details this evening. In your seats there is a service sheet for these services. The engagements made subject to the Lord's will for 2023. There is one omission that the Christmas Day for next year has been omitted from the sheet, and God willing that will be corrected. May we now be helped to continue our worship, singing together hymn number 37. Hymn number 37, to the tune Gopsal 542. Let earth and heaven combine, angels and men agree, to praise in songs divine the incarnate deity, our God, contracted to a span, incomprehensibly made man. He laid his glory by and wrapped him in our clay, unmarked by human eye the latent Godhead lay. Infant of days he here became and bore the loved Emmanuel's name. Hymn 37, tune Gopsal 542.
Seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, we turn to John's Gospel in the first chapter. John's Gospel, chapter 1, and we'll read verse 29. The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and saith, Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. John's Gospel, chapter 1, and we'll read verse 29. The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and saith, Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Well, John, we know there's that recorded of him. I believe that wrought in his heart whilst he was yet in his mother's womb. Yes, we read that where at the salutation of Mary, he leapt in his mother's womb. The sovereignty of God working the heart, even in that way, before ever one comes forth from the womb. But there is that appointed time, is there not? There is that appointed time, but all that it is manifest in their life. But all to be found amongst those, yes, loved from all eternity. Truly amongst those surnamed by the name of Israel. Ah, yes, love with that everlasting love. But like here then, do we know anything even like John declared? By the seeing of the eye, yes, he saw him with the natural eye, and I believe he also saw by faith. When he's in his mother's womb, he couldn't see with the natural eye, but there was that leaping for joy in his mother's womb. I believe in that way of a one, yes, yet to be born, in that way, yes, in that Mary's womb, which was the eternal Son. Taken upon himself that body and nature like unto our own, yet without sin. That one conceived in Mary's womb by the overshadowing of the Holy Ghost. Yes, John was a sinner. He was conceived by that natural conception of man. Likewise, everyone from Adam's day down to this, even including John, he was also born a sinner. But that one that was conceived in Mary's womb was that by the means of God, by the overshadowing of her, by the Holy Ghost. That which was brought forth from her was this Son of God, the Son of Man. Truly God, yet man. Made under the law. Made under the law to satisfy it. In the room, place and stead of his church, his chosen, his bride. And what a mercy we read what Christ declared, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And so that one that came forth from Mary's womb, the Son of God and the Son of Man. Yes, the mystery of godliness. Man tries to delve into it, but we have to leave what man's interpretation thoughts are. We go to the Word of God, but oh, what a mercy if we've likewise been taught by the Spirit our need. As we said, John was also conceived by that natural conception, like you and I. Came forth, we've all come forth from the womb speaking lies. Old nature, conceived in sin and shaped in iniquity, and who can know it? But what a mercy then if we are found amongst those, although we came forth in the mother's womb speaking lies, we were conceived in sin and shaped in iniquity, but what a mercy we are found amongst the elect of God. Chosen of God in eternity past, whose names are written in the Lamb's book of life. And there's that time appointed. A time appointed when they were brought to see their need and feel it. And what is that need? Well, that need is not known until there's an application of the law. One is brought in as a sinner. He knows and feels of a truth he's a sinner. And in that old dispensation, was it not sacrifice and offering had to be made? Even in Abraham's day, sacrifice and offering had to be made. Was it not down to the time of Christ coming upon the earth? Sacrifice had to be made. You look back to when Adam and Eve first sinned. There was a time when they walked with Almighty God and communed with God in the garden in the cool of the day. But then sin entered, and death by sin. They found they were naked. They realised that they stood before one, an all-seeing God. They saw them exactly as now they were, sinners. They tried to patch up their own inglorious righteousness by joining those fig leaves together as a covering. But it wasn't good enough. Yes, we read, do we not? Almighty God, in love and mercy toward them, made them those coats of skins, and therefore there was that the life of the animal was forfeited. A type and shadow of that which was to come, even as regards those many offerings throughout those days, down to the time of Christ, offering had to be made. For we read, do we not, without the shedding of blood, there can be no remission of sin. Without the shedding of blood, there can be no remission of sin. That remains down to this day. Yes, down to this day, without the shedding of blood, there can be no remission of sin. Have we been brought to see that our sins deserve an endless death? Our sins deserve that place where the worm dieth not and the flame is not quenched. Our sins deserve to be cast off into outer darkness forever. It's solemn to talk about, solemn to consider, but that is so. And without the shedding of blood, there can be no remission of sin. But all those types and shadows in those Old Testament times. And we read, did not one of the hymn writers put it, not all the blood of bulls and goats on Jewish altars slain could atone for one sin. But those saints of old, they looked beyond that sacrifice of the animal. And they saw likewise by faith Christ. We read, do we not, in the Word of God, this one and that one, including Adam, including Abraham. Yes, Adam likewise, but Abraham, the one we read of this morning, he died in faith. He died in faith. Yes, he also is brought to see without the shedding of blood. There was no remission of sin. We know that account, it was a trial of his faith. But I believe through that trial of his faith, what was shown to him? One that should stand in his room, place and stead as that spotless lamb, but Christ. Yes, as we read that chapter together, Abraham, like we know Abraham was before ever that came to pass. But like Abraham, we walk by faith and not by sight. There are those that saw that which took place. And blessed be God, it is recorded, is it not, in the Gospels, concerning this spotless lamb and that which took place. Is left on record for us are in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ being the author of the gospels. Yes, we know that the author of the word of God is God. And yes, there's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. Three in one. One in three. But the Gospels came by the Lord Jesus Christ, and they are made known unto poor sinners by the Holy Spirit, God the Spirit. And it is that which was purposed by Almighty God the Father, and God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost in eternity past, before ever the worlds were formed. And so likewise with Abraham, we walk by faith, and not by sight. Ah, yes, that trial of faith to Abraham. But all he proved in it, did he not? That which was, yes, no doubt sealed upon his heart, to the joy and rejoicing of his soul. Yes, he could say, with that measure of faith, God shall provide himself. Yes, himself. The Son of God, verily God, verily man, God shall provide himself a lamb. When his son inquired of him, he inquired of him, did he not? Yes, and if I can find the portion, the verse. Isaac spake unto Abraham his father. They went together. And it seems there was quite a union there. I don't know how old Isaac would have been, but by the fact that he carried the wood, and no doubt that would not have been light, he was not just a small child, but no doubt perhaps a young man, perhaps others can tell me. But all they went together. But there they came to that point where Isaac asked of his father Abraham, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? Where is the lamb for a burnt offering? By faith, Abraham said. And I believe that was by faith. It was. He couldn't have said it otherwise. God shall provide himself a lamb. And I believe in that way, looking to the Son of God, looking to that one that was yet to come. In that purpose of grace, in that covenant of grace wrought out in the eternity past between God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, spoken of by the prophets. He saw by faith, one, the Son of God. God shall provide himself a lamb. I believe that's who, likewise, John declared and saw, as he likewise had it revealed to him. God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. And so they both went together. Well, we know the account reads that Abraham bound his son Isaac upon that altar prepared, and the wood and the altar built, and he was laid upon, bound upon it. That moment, yes, the trial of his faith. And I believe by that divine providence that there was made known unto them, as it revealed to them, that ram caught by his horns in a thicket. Yes, speaks of Christ. One, in that way, yes, when I used to have my own sheep, if an animal was caught by his horns or by his wool in a thicket or brambles, it was unable to run away. They got to a point where they wouldn't run away. All they wanted was that to release them. But all one, Christ the Son of God, in that way, willing in the day of the power of God, yes, came to do his Father's will, but that provision by Almighty God, that he should take upon himself that body and nature like unto our own, yet without sin, to be that offering for sin. That offering for sin. A spotless lamb. A lamb without spot, without blemish. And I have no doubt that ram caught in a thicket, provided by Almighty God, would have been likewise one without blemish. One without blemish, typifying Christ to come. One without blemish. God shall provide himself a lamb. And I tried to find it a little earlier again, but oh, what do we read? I had a job to find, but I think it's in, I believe if I remember quickly glancing into John's Gospel chapter 8. John's Gospel chapter 8, and we read, if I can lay my eyes upon it, yes, here towards the end of chapter 8 in this same Gospel. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. My day, the coming of the Son of God, the Son of Man, the Lamb of God. Abraham, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Glad. It was to the joy and rejoicing of his soul. He likewise, no doubt, knew he was a sinner. He knew he felt and brought to feel he had need of a Saviour. He was glad in his day, made glad in his day. So like John at the beginning,
this book of John, the Gospel according to John. Yes, before he came forth from his mother's womb, there was that there, a moving in his heart and in his nature by the Spirit. But then he's brought to see and to testify. We read, do we not, the next day, John seeth Jesus coming. Comes to this, have we likewise been brought upon by the Spirit? Needy sinners, hell-deserving sinners, having need of a sacrifice, having need of that precious blood, of one to shed his blood. Yes, the Old Testament times are past. That was a type and shadow. But have you been brought to see your need of the blood of Christ? The blood of Christ. That sin-atoning blood of Christ. Oh, do you come in, do you know a little of what John spake of here? Maybe through the eye of, yes, like at the moment, not with that clearness of sight. But oh, as we spoke together in the vestry, concerning the children of Israel of old, when they were bitten by those serpents in the wilderness. There were those that were on the outside edge of the camp when one was commanded, was he not, to raise that brazen serpent up upon a pole. That was the typified Christ yet to come. And we read, do we not, all that looked live. But in the vestry we're recounting two of the Lord's servants that spake in such a way concerning that. Those on the outside edge of the camp are looking by faith, made known that there was this brazen serpent raised upon it, and you've had it made known to you through the lattice of the gospel, through the foolishness of preaching. There's been that made known. Is there looking by faith? We know there's differences in faith, but blessed be God, what a mercy it is to have a little grain of faith. Whereby that little grain of faith, it raises up a little hope. But those on the outside edge of that camp, no doubt, as they were instructed, there were that was there to be done. We've had the instruction, have we not, through the Gospel, through the Old Testament, that concerning Christ, has there been that view by faith, yet not that clearness that you would like, but what a mercy of us this. I think I do. When we look to see, brought to see, yes, feeling to be on the outside edge of the camp, feeling less than the least, feeling the most unworthy, the blackest of the black, but I think I do. Oh, what a mercy it has been so. That wrought in the heart by faith, venturing faith, looking alone unto Jesus, yes, has been that made known unto you, as we said just now, through the foolishness of preaching. It's not always through the foolishness of preaching, but often it is. That's the appointed means in general. But oh, there's been that wrought in your heart. I will look. I'll venture to look. Faith in exercise. But oh, do you come like this? Oh, that might have that view by faith, even as John. Do you come with this? Jesus, reveal thyself to me.
Send my soul, I am thy salvation. Show me thy salvation. Reveal to me thy beauties, thy gloriousness, thy righteousness. Reveal to me a suffering Saviour in my room, place and stead. The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him. Do you feel like that one blind by the wayside? They cried out, did they not? They wouldn't be quietened. Perhaps like Jacob of old, you know a little of this. I will not let thee go. And what did Jacob say in that? He didn't just, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. Do you long for that blessing of the Lord which maketh rich and addeth no sorrow to it? That's that blessing of his salvation, made known unto a poor sinner. You may have been favoured with many things in providence, but when it comes at all, you realise that all those things were burnt up. They'll have an end. And then what? It's a never-ending eternity. But not only that, it is the judgment seat. But all have Christ revealed to you this side of eternity, the hope of glory. An application of that precious blood of the Lamb of God, once slain. To be clothed upon with that robe of his righteousness. Your fig leaves taken away. Almighty God clothed them. And this is by the power of God, the work of God. When a poor sinner, yes, there's that which is stripped from them, which is of their righteousness. You might try and think, well, I'll patch up my own inglorious righteousness. I'll seek to do something for myself. And what do you find? The more I strove against sin's power, I sinned and stumbled, but the more, till late I heard my Saviour say, come hither, soul, I am the way. Oh, one brought to look out of self. Come with all their wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. Confess their unworthiness. And like we read, is it not? Comes my mind again, but that which we read in, forget which chapter it is in Ezekiel's prophecy. But all that, can't lay my eyes upon it at the moment. But all that one to the loathing of themselves. The loathing of themselves. Yes, brought to loathe themselves. I can't lay my eyes upon it at the moment. But you know that perhaps that portion in Ezekiel's prophecy. No uncertainty about it. You don't say, well, I think I'm a sinner. I think I'm a sinner. I think I'm out of the way. But it's the loathing of yourself. But as we read in the Song of Solomon, oh, has it been this? Draw me, and we will run after thee. Draw me, and we will run after thee. I know I could lay my eyes upon that chapter, but I can't. Ah, here we are, chapter 16. If you've been brought to this, none I pitied thee. The old adversary doesn't pity you. The old man of sin within you doesn't pity you. You had that peace before, but now it's warfare. None I pitied thee. To do any of these things, you read that chapter 16, but none I pitied thee. Go back one verse, as for thy nativity in the day that thou wast born, thy navel was not cut, neither wast thou washed in water to supple thee, thou wast not salted at all, nor swaddled at all, none I pitied thee, to do any of these unto thee, to have compassion upon thee. But thou wast cast out into the open field to the loathing of thy person in the day that thou wast born. And that day of the second birth, convinced of sin, awakened out of that deadness and darkness in which you were conceived and born by the first birth. But oh, when I passed by thee, and saw thee polluted in thine own blood, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. Yea, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. And then you read that verse 8 and 9. You read it at your leisure, but now when I pass by thee, looked upon thee, behold, thy time was a time of love, and I spread my skirt over thee and covered thy nakedness. Like it was with Adam and Eve, Almighty God covered their nakedness. Cover thy nakedness, yea, I swear unto thee, and entered into a covenant with thee, saith the Lord God, and thou becamest mine. Ah, yes, a son or a daughter, that beggar poor at mercy's door, now a son or a daughter by blessed adoption, an heir of God, a joint heir with Christ. But oh, even of that one I think I do. Ah, yes, may the Lord yet reveal himself to you in this way, now when I pass by thee and looked upon thee. Behold, thy time was a time of love, and I spread my skirt over thee and covered thy nakedness. Yea, I swear unto thee, and entered into a covenant with thee, that covenant of grace, of which Christ is the author and finisher of it, by his blood, his sufferings, his death, his merit, his righteousness, made known unto a poor sinner, the Lamb of God. And thou becamest mine. Thou becamest mine, but the time has gone. The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Ah, may we likewise be brought there to behold in our day the Lamb of God. Ah, but not only the Lamb of God, one that taketh away not the sin of all the world, but those they're in the world, yes, they're found in the world, loved of God from all eternity. Amen.
May we have to conclude by singing hymn number 518, hymn 518, to the tune Dix 943. The last two lines of each verse will be repeated. At the birth of Christ our King, angels made the heavens ring, singing with a solemn joy, glory to the Lord on high. Come, ye mourning souls, rejoice, look, and with a cheerful voice sing the honours of your Lord, blazing in the incarnate word. Hymn 518, tune Dix 943.
Favour, heat, longing soul. Yet without view by faith of Christ, the Lamb of God. Christ, the Lamb of God. Reveal thyself in all thy beauty to them, in the fullness of that beauty. As that offering may once and for all for sin and for sinners. And that precious blood, an application of that precious blood upon their heart and mind and conscience. Oh, that precious blood, that sin atoning blood. We might likewise come with a hymn writer whereby when he penned those lines and the dying thief rejoiced to see that fountain in his day, whereby came forth the blood and the water to be of sin the double cure, to cleanse me from its guilt and power. O Lord, we plead then, favour such a one yet. Ah, they might yet be brought to sing a song of praise unto thee. Ah, unto the Lamb of God once slain. Pardon and forgive all thou hast heard and seen amiss. Do remember us each in the interval. Ah, grant that burden and exercise of soul. Help this poor one once again in meditation to give that to speak for the evening, if we're spared to come again. So we now fall into thy hands, into thy kind care and keeping. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the communion of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with us each, now and forevermore. Amen.